Dietitians, doctors, carnivores, and the meat industry brace for the findings about meat and cancer expected from the World Health Organization in the next few minutes. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. A World Health Organization panel of experts has been reviewing decades of data on red meat, processed meat, and cancer risk. Their findings are due in just a few minutes. The panel could say that processed food such as bacon and hot dogs causes or probably causes cancer. It could also draw a link between cancer and red meat. Beef, of course, is a staple in diets of U.S. people and beyond. BBC Business reporter Jonathan Fruin is waiting for the report's publication.
Experts are advising that the size of dose that one would need to take is extremely high. The risk of cancer is extremely low. It's not like starting smoking cigarettes, which has a huge potential cancer risk. Industry bodies in the US have been quite up in arms about this in the sense that they are concerned that any suggestion of a cancer risk between red meat and cancer is likely to put people off buying their products. They've been cautioning that this may be an overreach on the part of the WHO. Meanwhile, some analysts have been saying that it may not affect consumption too much because people are already aware of the need to cut back on red meat consumption.
In anticipation of this, the president of the North American Meat Association argues it would not be applied to people's health because it's, quote, just one piece of the health puzzle, theoretical hazards, he said. American Airlines has announced that next year it'll put into place a new pricing structure with no-frills tickets for sale in certain cities where discount carriers are strong. By no-frills, the idea is added fees. For this and that, Marketplace's Sabri Benishour reports.
American is lowering fares because, drumroll, it has to.
Low-cost carriers are expanding pretty rapidly.
George Hobica is president of AirfareWatchdog.com. He says low-cost carriers like Spirit and Frontier are giving American, and a lot of other carriers, a run for their money.
Crazy low fares. So you can fly between Chicago and 10 different cities for $40 each way. I mean, it costs more than that to get to the airport by Uber.
But before you run off to book a flight, just know that American is not cutting prices everywhere, just where there's competition.
They're not lowering fares where lower fares are not offered, and they're increasing fares when they believe they can.
Robert Mann is an airline industry analyst with R.W. Mann Incorporated. Another reason American's cutting fares is that it can afford to.
The relief that 40% reduction in fuel prices gives you is substantial. You can compete at very, very low prices and make money.
How long this strategy and the lower fares last is another matter. This could be a long-haul move or a stunt to attract customers and make low-cost carriers say uncle. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
Let's check the numbers. The FT 100 in London is down about 0.25%. The DAX in Germany up 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 0.2% range. The American economy has formally been in recovery for 6 years now, but for a lot of Americans, it doesn't feel that way. Many people feel anxious, and this isn't just a supposition. We know this because we asked. Today, we're revealing results of the first-ever Marketplace Edison Research poll. More than 1,000 Americans surveyed about how the economy feels to them. We'll be talking about the findings all week here. Now, to start us off, Marketplace's Washington Bureau Chief Dave Shaw joins us. Dave, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so give me the top line here. Has the macroeconomic recovery seeped down to regular people?
Well, it has for some, but for many, there is a ton of anxiety. Do you feel anxious about your financial situation? And 63% say sometimes or frequently. And we asked people, do you feel stuck in your financial situation? And 2 out of 5 feel stuck. You know, behind each of these numbers, there are people. And so we went out and talked with a bunch. One of them is Rita Kane. She's a federal worker. She's from Maryland, and she does feel stuck sometimes.
I want to retire, but I'm afraid to retire because of what my expenses. And I'm 63. I don't want to work anymore. For the first time in my life since I was 12, I'd like to not work. But financially, I can't yet.
Now, that does not sound like economic security. What it sounds like is stressful.
There is a lot of stress, and one of the questions where we found that most apparent was we asked if you're currently losing sleep over your financial situation. More than 1 out of every 4 people is currently losing sleep. Thais Plummer is 25 and is a legal assistant, and she says she occasionally might lose sleep.
If I do lose a little bit of sleep, I might get paid a little too close to a bill that's due, so I'm anxious then, but I try to not make that happen as much as possible.
So you have this survey, not just occasional anecdotes, but the idea is to what, put it all together somehow?
Exactly. So we worked with our partners at Edison Research, which is based in New Jersey, to create what we're calling the Economic Anxiety Index. And it gives a score, 0 to 100, about how financially stressed out somebody is. So the mean score is 31. Immediately, we can compare that score among different subgroups. And it's pointed to a lot of really interesting divisions that are sort of hiding in plain sight. For example, salaried versus hourly workers.
So many hourly employees feeling more insecure, of course.
That's exactly right. And that speaks to that sense of security and insecurity that comes with, you know, having a set paycheck and having set hours.
What else we find?
This was kind of surprising. There's broad support for the social safety net. So programs like unemployment insurance and job training and college assistance for low and middle income. If you're paying attention to the political discourse that's happening right now, you might not realize that more than 80% of Americans are largely on board with those programs. Of course, the devil is in the details when it comes to how much to spend on those programs.
We'll delve further into these numbers as the week goes on. Marketplace's Washington Bureau Chief Dave Shaw, thank you.
Absolutely, David.
If you're interested, check out all the findings from this poll and see how economic anxiety breaks down among different groups in America. It's at marketplace.org. From the studios at Montclair State University in New Jersey with our New York Bureau under renovation, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.